All right. When I was talking with Pastor the last couple days, we were talking about who could scramble together something to speak about today. So I'm the scramblee. But I pray that this is something that will at least touch your hearts and something we can have conversation about. I've titled it today two things: faith in action, but then also fake it till you make it is my subtitle. Now I want to give a disclaimer. I don't like that kind of phrasing of winging it mentality, although some will say, Stu, you wing it all the time. But I sometimes need to get this and use this objective. I'll explain that as we talk through today. But first off, I want to go through a quick reflection. Bullet points that I've been capturing. I don't know if you guys capture nuggets of sermons and that. And I know Joey's been pressing on you. Do you take notes? Do you remember the sermons and that? And I'm a pretty good copious note taker, and Tamara probably has me outdone on that. But I went through my notes and I went through my thoughts, and here's some things I've picked up as we've gone through Acts the last few months. So I'm going to recap some of these. Joey's been working diligently on these, and I wanted to see what I have captured, and if this resonated with you or it didn't, it might just be me and my many personalities that have been having conversations. All right. From the last few months, I've picked up: serve God by serving mankind. Study his word on your own and with family daily. God may give power. He may give you power to do his will, but it is his power. The gospel of Jesus must be spoken. Can't just be assumed. Have discipline in family and community of studying, praying, and worship. God's power is from him. Have faith, not just good deeds and vice versa. Have a bit of caution taking on spiritual battles by yourself. Be sure of your faith in Christ. Remember the seven sons of Sceva who walked around that demon-possessed man and were saying, in the name of Paul, in the name of Jesus, you need to leave him. And finally that cat turned around and said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, well, who are you? And they beat the snot out of these brothers. Don't deal in the demonic. You call in the name of Christ to take care of those spiritual battles that you're having always. Follow Paul's example in a faith walk, but more importantly, follow Jesus' walk. Serve your brother, not the world, not yourself. God is at work in you and through you, even when you don't necessarily notice it. Take courage. Jesus has overcome the world. Will we, the body of Christ, read the word, preach the word, and bring Jesus to mankind? Those are nuggets I've picked up, and it kind of helps me do a lead into where I want to go. There's a couple of next steps. Maybe this is one of those things Joey hasn't touched on yet, and maybe he will or won't, but I believe they're inferred. The first one is going to come out of Matthew 28, and it's going to be 18 through 26-ish. You should know this one decently well. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. I'm going to bracket that in with James. James could be a little annoying. If you've read James, you know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to read from James 2, 14 to 26. And sorry, I wasn't giving you guys. James 2, 14. I'm sure you've heard this too. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to him, go, I wish you warm and well-fed, but does nothing about the physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But somebody will say to you, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. So God's clear in his word. Put this back here. God's clear in his word. We have the answer, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord of all. If you can just get that to resonate in your own spirit, so much more goes better in your life and in your heart and in your mind. His word lives in us, believers. His word lives in us. It lives in you. We're commanded to love our Lord, our God, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Sometimes it's hard to give all that up. We talked about that in surrendering everything, but that's how we're to love God. We're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. You know that you take care of yourself or you wouldn't look so good. You wouldn't be so healthy. Amen? We're commanded to go and teach others to do likewise. It's not a suggestion. I think Jesus was very direct about that with the disciples and you, his disciples. This is for every believer. It's not just for the brave ones. It's not just for the skilled ones. It's not for the ones who's like, well, he could do that, but I can't do that. There is no age gap. So if you're really young and you think that you can't do something to help impress on someone else the need to have Jesus as your Savior, you're wrong. There's so many examples. If you think you're too old, you're wrong. There are so many examples. It doesn't mean that we're all going to operate the same way and go and bless others and let them know the good news about Jesus. But we all have an ability to do that. We have all the tools we need. We have the communication skills we need, and the opportunities will be there, I guarantee. There is no good excuse to just stay at home and sit on that powerful truth that you already have, that I already have. Your family has to know about Jesus. It's life or death. It's life or death. If we would be that serious about it, it's life or death. Doesn't matter if their feelings are hurt. Doesn't matter if they throw their hands up and say, Mom, I'm tired of hearing about Jesus. Gosh. Okay. Don't get tired of telling them about Jesus. At the very least, you planted seeds. Your friends don't stand a chance in hell without him. I don't say that to be flippant. Once you're in hell, you don't leave there. That chasm is there. Strangers are as important as those other groups of people that we dearly love. The big truth is God desires that nobody perishes. In 2 Peter 3:9, he reminds us of this. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Don't give up. So how is this truth going to be told? How is this truth of Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord, going to be told? If not you, if not me, who then? Somebody else? Some other church? Some other family member that's a pastor or a deacon or an elder or a good Sunday school teacher? I think it's paramount for every single one of us. If not now, when are you going to try and get that truth out? Later may be too late. I think we know that from the scriptures. Jesus will come back in a minute, in an instant. We will not know when he's coming, and it'll be boom, it'll be done. The urgency is there. There are a lot of opportunities on how we do this, on how we share faith. And it doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't all have to be scary. In church, what I love about this place is there's a lot of Bible studies, small groups, men's breakfasts, women's retreats, children's retreat, youth teaching, post-high teaching, just gatherings at the coffee shop. You may never break open the Bible. You may not do anything more than just love on that other person. Maybe you say a prayer together before you leave, but there's so much community here, and I love that about our church. I don't care that our numbers are 142 from last week, that they're 170 from 6 months ago. Everybody who's here, and even those that aren't here this morning, I love you dearly. And I don't get hung up on those things. I love you dearly, and I pray God's blessings over every single one of you. It does trouble me, because I don't know where people are going. I don't know what they're doing, but it's not what I'm here to talk about. Still have community, have fellowship, have love for one another. You have opportunities at your family table. I know that one's overused, but goodness gracious, I've been in so many family homes, and we get ready to eat supper with them, and nobody says grace, and I'm almost like that little religious kid. It's like, we're eating food. Nobody said grace. I might get sick. Yeah. So I quietly say grace. Sometimes I'll close my eyes and I'll say grace so I don't offend them, but I don't know why I'm closing my eyes. Like, Lord, they didn't say grace, but I blessed this food. Amen. But you can do that at your family table. You can teach so much at your family table, at your family bedside. You're talking to your kids at night. You can teach them about Jesus just before they go to sleep. Wouldn't it be cool if they dreamed about Jesus? Just before your kids go to sleep, tell them about how good he is and how much you trust in him. At work, oh my goodness, just working at Honda for 36 and a half years is quite a ministry inside there. And believe it or not, I had an atheist / agnostic Asian friend that I was doing Bible study with. He came because he loved all the different foods. We had an Asian group and Asian American kids, and all these guys were bringing these different foods, and we came for the food, and then we did Bible study, and we loved each other. And I told him, I was really frustrated. I said, you know, God's had me here 30 years now. I thought he'd do something else with me. He's like, well, maybe you're where you're supposed to be. You're meeting people like me and these other guys. I'm like, thank you, atheist brother. I said, somebody who doesn't even believe in God, you're giving me encouragement. So he must have told you to tell me that. Thank you. I bet his faith was increased a little bit that day. He did. He was encouraging me. And I'm so blessed by that. I pray he's not an atheist. Your community. In your stores. You've heard Joey tell silly stories about giving vacuum cleaners away and stalking people to their house and saying, you said you wanted the vacuum cleaner here. You know, you can do things like that at Walmart. It doesn't have to be that. I know my Tamara, once in a while, she gets all crazy. She's like, I want to buy those groceries. And she'll buy groceries for an elderly couple that'll be in front of us or behind us. Then she'll run out the store so they don't get a chance to find out who did it. You can bless people. Anybody been through the McDonald's drive-thru and someone's already paid for your drinks? That's a cool thing started. Anybody have that? It's like they already paid for you in the car in front of you. Like, what? I don't know them. But you can bless people. And, you know, if you get a chance to see them face-to-face, I just wanted to bless you. God wanted me to bless you, period. You can use the Matthew 25 mindset when Jesus was talking about that separation of sheep and goats, and I probably overused this. I do in the prison all the time, but you know, he's really, really driving the point home to me that, you know, if you took care of the poor, the underclothed, the underfed, the sick, and the imprisoned, then you took care of me. If you didn't take care of the poor, the underfed, the underclothed, the sick, and those in prisons, you did not take care of me. That hits me between the eyes. Because I want Jesus to think that I'm taking care of him while I'm serving his people. So what I'm going to talk about, what I'm going to drive the point home today, is I want to show example of how me and my family live out a faith walk, and it's goodness gracious, it's in all modesty again. I hate coming up here and talking about some of the things we do because I think some people think I'm bragging, and I'm not doing that. I'm trying to encourage. But prison ministry is one way that's captured me and several members of my family. We found a way to serve literally hundreds of people in a given year. This year, Tamara and I are going to serve inside four different prisons, 7 events, 3-day events, and we're going to run into about 35 to 40 inmates at each place, if you count the inside volunteers. So over 200 people that we'll engage very directly and tell them very directly that God loves them and Jesus is real and he loves you, and if you would repent and give your life over to him, you will live forever and not perish. So we have to become emboldened to do that. My other family members, they're going to be in 4 or 5 or 6 facilities as well, and it's a tiring thing, but it's extremely rewarding. We just left one this last weekend. I can't stand up here for an extra 10 minutes and tell you about that. Tamara's going to talk about the prayers that you guys did this last week and what that does, but goodness gracious, if you can see some of these thugs, these young thugs that turn back into little boys for a little while, and you see them open up and you get to breathe truth into their lives, it does something to you. It's like, okay, I'm tired, but I want to go back. And I mean thugs. I had to tell my whole table to shut their mouths and get away from me. And he said, you're not my dad. Good thing. Good thing I'm not your dad. But yeah, they were preying on one individual. And these guys get wicked. Their mouths are worse than sailors. But when they open up and they finally let those barriers down and get all the anger out of them, they're moldable. You see a very moldable moment and you're like, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now what do I do? Holy cow. You see those moments and you have to go there. So inside, we have a lot of worship. We have testimonies, skits. We have a lot of examples of agape love, unconditional love. We do a lot of planting. We see watering. We see growth happening, especially those who have been in for a while and have someone speaking truth to them. After we plant all those seeds, not only God knows the rest of the story, but we know that we're doing what he wants us to do, I pray. So I've asked a few of my family members to come up, and each one we're going to give just a couple minutes, and I'm going to put them on the spot with a couple of questions. But first I want Aubrey to come up. And the other ladies, if you guys want to come up and sit in the front, that way you can. I'll just have Celia and Kinsey. They might be a little shy, but I'll have the other ones say a few words. So Aubrey, if you can come up first. This mic is set for my beautiful niece Aubrey. It's like right here. This is where my family average height is. Sorry, sweetie. So Aubrey, thank you for serving with us. Aubrey and I, well, we'll talk about that in a second, but I'm going to ask you, what do you find rewarding about serving, and do you feel that you make a difference in these prisons?
So the first part, what do I find rewarding? I think one of my goals when I go into these places is just to be a good representation of God's love and to pour life into them. Because there's a lot of hopelessness, depression, anxiety. A lot of them feel worthless, which brings on suicidal thoughts. There's a lot of darkness there. So one of my goals was to bring light and love and just pour life into them, remind them that they have purpose from God. One of the rewarding things that I didn't expect is the way that they pour life back into me. They really protect me and honor me and respect me, and they hold me accountable about school, and they just really encourage me. So that's one of the rewarding things that I didn't necessarily expect to happen. And then, do I feel like I make a difference, right?
Yep.
I think that we have a very short window of time with them, and relationships make a difference because many of them don't have positive relationships with other people, and God's love makes a difference. And I believe that if they just understand even a fraction of God's love and how God loves them and values them, then it can really change the trajectory of their entire life. So I hope that we can show them God's love, and that makes a difference.
Amen. Thank you. So, though I am so far away from professional quality, and Aubrey is so much sweeter voice and guitarist, she and I get to serve as worship leaders, and it's unfortunate because we need worship leaders. I'm serving in this role just because there's not enough, and I have about half an ounce of talent, but we need worship leaders inside prison. But she and I have been serving together, and I have been so blessed by that, and actually another thing that inspires me, especially to see how God uses her powerfully. In the women's prison and a young men's prison, you see music just take away that nasty spirit, just like it did between King Saul and David. We see that happening in the prison. The music is one of the things that changes hearts and minds, and by the end of the weekend, everybody's singing. They have favorite songs and sing How He Loves Again, sing 10,000 Reasons Again, sing Lord, I Need You Again, from these thugs who may have never even prayed before. So music is touching their hearts in a way that is just beautiful. So Aubrey and I do one song that she pulled up years ago, and you guys heard it in our gong show, but we've been using this in prison, and the words are very impactful. I don't know if you'll see the lyrics up there, but you're going to see that some of the words really impact these guys, and they can relate to it. So I'll let her lead that, and I'll be her little doo-woppy. It's called Love Me, if you don't catch that from the chorus.
In the corner when nobody sees, he's a kid with a story no one would believe. He prays every night, dear God, won't you please, could you send someone here who will love me, who will love me for me, not for what I have done or gym after working today. says who will love me for me, not for what I have done or what I will become. Who will love me for me? 'Cause nobody has shown me what love really is. He's waiting to die as he sits all alone. He's a man in a cell who regrets what he's done. He utters a cry from the depths of his soul. Oh, Lord, forgive me, I want to go home. Then he heard a voice somewhere deep inside, and he said, I know you murdered, and I know you lied, and I have watched you suffer all of your life. And now that you'll listen up, I'll tell you that I will love you for you.
Thank you, Aubrey. You'll notice from the lyrics of that song, it's one of those things that several of them can relate to, especially the women, husbands left, if I was just skinnier, for the ones sitting in a cell, they regret what they've done. We see regret, we see repentance, we see the depth of the heart, and we come in there to give them hope that there's a God who loved them. He didn't give up on them. They're not society's trash, they're not your trash. They are children of God that he loves, and he wants that none should perish, amen? Okay, Sister Cindy, if you can come up. So this is my beautiful sister Cindy and Sister Celia. I'll have her come up here in a second. But, you're a little taller. You can do whatever. So Cindy, explain why you started going into prisons to serve and what you found that you can do that makes a difference. So however you want to.
Well, I was in the middle of a grief process, and I cried out to God and said, just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. Like, I lost my husband overnight. I took him to the hospital on Saturday and came home Monday night without him. Well, that very next week, Stu and Tamara were getting ready to go into prison, and she was lay director, and they asked me to serve, and I thought, well, how can I help anyone? I'm kind of a mess. And that's exactly what the Lord wanted me to do. And traveling with Stu and Tara was a lot of fun. They actually eat in their car. We found out this ministry is a lot about food, and I learned that food really draws in guys and gals that are incarcerated, and if they only come for the food, they are still going to be exposed to the Word of God. And we eat all the time. We eat when we travel. We eat when we're done. We eat all day in prison. And when we're done in prison, we eat again. But it's taught me It's taught me that if you just give in to God and ask Him and follow Him, that there will be healing. And at the same time, you're sharing with others that aren't exposed to the Word of God. Like, we come to church freely. And the thing about serving in the women's prison, they have kids. And if you don't help contribute to exposing them or their kids to the Word of God, then the cycle just continues, you know. And for the guys, they're a little bit more rugged, and they all, some of them don't stay, you know, they come to the event and then they'll leave, but usually they don't leave by themselves. They'll find someone else to latch on to, say, let's do this, let's go, and show them what we're made out of. But some of them come back, but there's all kinds of things, and it's all about prayer. And without your prayers, every time we go in, we're not covered by God's grace and mercy, and these guys aren't touched, and these women aren't touched. And we have a lot of fun doing it, traveling as a family, and it's very rewarding. But yeah, God is good every day, but we thank you so much for your prayers.
Thank you, sis. Kenzie and Celia, if you guys can at least stand up so they can see you. These guys are shy, but I'm going to speak out for them, something for them. Kenzie is our adopted niece. She's lived in our house as long as Aubrey did, I think. And she and Aubrey now share a house that she bought, so that's Aubrey's landlord and best friend. That's weird sometimes. You guys can sit down. But they represent a good bookend. Inside the prison, especially these young boys, are they hormonally challenged? Absolutely. Are they in there for some sexual crimes? Absolutely. So I was nervous about taking my sisters, my wife, and the young girls in there. And I got to tell you that I have to tell these, I give these guys kudos. I said, I appreciate all you men. I'll be honest with them. I said, I don't want to bring my family in here and have you guys ogle them and try and get dates with the young girls and all of that. And even older women, some of these guys, they have such big problems. They don't care how old you are, they have this problem. But God protects that whole weekend. And I'll tell them, I'm very proud about how you respect and treat and communicate with my family. And I love you guys for that. And so on both ends of the spectrum, you know, young, voluptuous girls, and then my older sisters who are beautiful in their own right, these guys take to them like grandmas and mothers. Celia was at my table this last week, and after about the first few hours, you know, the guys were dropping F-bombs and that. I said, don't talk like that in front of my sister, please. So I'll give some instruction, but then they also took on this extra protection. Like, guys, nobody's going to eat until Miss Celia gets her plate. And so they start getting her plate ready. They said, we're going to pray, but wait, Celia went to the bathroom. And a couple of the guys just took her under the wing as grandma and said, when Miss Celia gets back, then we'll take care of this. Miss Celia, what do you think about that? And they went to this grandma. We're finding out in prison, grandma is a very special saint-like person in most inmates' lives. And so you guys that are grandmas, you have this flair that you don't even know about. Your grandkids and people around you soak up everything you say, and they respect you so much. That's how you can be used. And then this last part I want to go through, I'm going to have my beautiful wife come up. And I've asked her to give one talk, and be patient because it's within the time frame I mentioned. But Tamara, I've seen her come up, sweetie. I've seen her come alive in prison ministry. It's like God's prepared her for years and years before he exploded her into this. She's literally, and I say this because she's standing here, she's one of our strongest leaders in Ohio, and she's highly sought after. She has high organization skills, mad skills on how to love on people, how to get about 100 things done. Even in the middle of the weekend, the leaders will come up, and she's sitting at table with the least duty. They're like, Tamara, you got a second? We got a problem. And they'll pull her from table and take her to the back and ask her for, I don't know, state rules or epiphany rules or any kind of organizational function. So she's very, very good at showing a beautiful heart and keeping things organized. She drags us along to support her ministry, the way I look at it. So I've asked her to do a talk that she gives inside prison, and she just did this last one, and it's called You Can Do It, and it's the last talk of the weekend, and it's to encourage you guys. You've come here, we've taught you, we've loved on you, you've loved on us, you have next steps. We know those are hard. We know you can't just say, I love Jesus, and everything is beautiful after that. It actually gets worse sometimes. So she gives this inspirational talk that I would like to have her go ahead and do. You can. About the prayers.
I'm the weeping one. I'm the one always crying.
Bob Ravenstein calls me the weepy elder, so we're together.
But I bring everybody with me when I'm crying, so the boys are a little tough, but the girls are usually crying with me. We talked about the prayers, I think Stu said. I feel this is a little low. And we've asked many times you guys to pray. This is what the prayer chain looks like. And we write your name on here, just your first name. Don't worry, we're not going in with last names, first name only. And if you're from out of state, out of country, we also put that on here as well. And then if there's any colleges. And usually this will be 2,000 to 3,000 links long. And we bring that in for the boys to see during one of the talks. So it goes all the way around the room. Yeah, and we share with them the states that are praying, or where the people are from, if they're military, college, what state. So we share all that with them. All right, I have to move this over just a little, or else I can't see my words. I'm going to go through the talk that we would normally do. So there's a couple things we do before we start a talk. We sing Jesus Loves Me. We have a reading, and then we say the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to kind of skip that today, and I'm going to go right into the talk the same way that I gave it in the prison. So maybe this will touch one of you. Maybe you can relate to it. But understand, I'm talking to the juvenile boys for this talk. Good afternoon. My name is Tamara. The name of my talk is You Can Do It. Please remember to take notes so you can refer back to them later on. Wow, what an amazing weekend. Are you guys as exhausted as I am? What you've experienced this weekend is only the beginning. You have been given the chance to have a friendship with God, and He loves you more than you could ever imagine. He is our forever friend, and He has never left us, and He never will. Not even during our difficult times. Sometimes during these difficult times, you may feel like He is not there. But it's during those times when I remember one of my favorite poems, Footprints. Footprints is not only a poem, but it's a prayer for so many of us for when we are walking through these difficult times. The poem has encouraged many of us to trust and know that our Heavenly Father's words are true. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I want to read this to you, and then also for the tables, we always have a copy for all the boys at the table, so they get a copy of that as I'm reading it. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times, there was only one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I've noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, you have not been there for me?" And the Lord replied, "My child, the times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you." And like the poem says, during some of those difficult times, when we think God is not with us, that is when He is there and will always carry us through. Now, you won't find this exact poem in the Bible, but there's scripture that says what this poem does. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "To know that no matter what, no matter where, no matter when, Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us." Deuteronomy 1:31, "And in the desert, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place." And then in Psalm 77:19, "Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen." Now, this weekend was not planned and prepared by God just so you could have a good time, although we did, didn't we? It is our hope and prayer that this weekend has changed your life forever. Now, I know your brains already on information overload, but I really have some more good stuff to share with you. We all have responsibilities in three different areas of our life: to ourselves, to Christ, and to others. First, to ourselves. This means it's your responsibility to pray and talk to God regularly. Now, I talk to God on my way to work, when I'm walking, when I'm sitting, when I'm on a plane, pretty much just any time I have a free minute. You can talk to God wherever you are. Here in this facility, you can talk to God when you're walking the yard, when you're in your room, when you're working, or anytime you have a free minute. He will be there and will listen wherever you are. It's also your responsibility to study God's word. You can join a Bible study group. You can follow a set plan to read the Bible in 1 year. And in these Bibles we gave you, there's a place in the back that you can actually walk through reading the Bible in a year. Have you ever heard that the Bible is your instruction for life? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Now, I'm sure many of you listen to music, and I could tell by the singing this weekend, but this is also a great way to hear God's word. There are a lot of Christian artists that actually use parts of Scripture in their songs. Chaplin also has devotional books here that you can read. And then when you go home, you'll have more access to the electronic world. I have 2 daily devotion apps on my phone. I receive daily email devotions. I receive scripture, devotions, inspirational quotes on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Having his word constantly around you helps you to learn and live. Now, your second responsibility is to Christ. You can stay connected to Jesus by going to church regularly. The church is our community of faith and a group of people who have faith in God, Jesus Christ, and each other. All of the team members here with you this weekend are members of the community of faith. The church my husband Stu and I attend is a place to share feelings, hurts, and we always feel his spirit when we're there. I always feel loved and accepted. And our church has been there to help us and support us during the loss of many loved ones and during difficult times. But we are also there when our church family needs us, whether it's prayers, just love, or support as well. I do this in prison too, so I have to cry here since I cry there. It's just God using me. The third responsibility we have is to others. If Christ is in your heart, you must share his love with others you meet. You need to support others, forgive others, and love others just as you would want in return. When you have Christ in your heart, people will notice something different about you. You may be the only Bible anyone ever reads, so you need to live your life as Christ would and let his light shine through you. Stu and I try to live our life for God, and we're not looking for praise or anything in return. When we see people do things, when people see us do things like giving to someone on the street or serving in a food kitchen or helping someone broken down alongside the road, we always turn it back over to God. He is just using us. I have a friend, Dan, and we became really close when we were traveling for work. We had a flight that it could have been our last flight, and we could have crashed that day. Our plane was struck by lightning, the lights went out, and we dropped really fast. I was traveling with 3 other coworkers, and they were all engineers, so I'm sure they were thinking about what's going on with this plane mechanically. They started all looking at me and wondering what to do. I just smiled back at them and said, "Everything will be okay, it'll be all right." And I even helped the guy beside me take his jacket off because he was getting ready to throw up because he was so hot. So a few days later, Dan came up to me, and he told me he saw such peace in my face while all of that was going on. And it made him realize he needed to get his life right with Christ again. And he did. He became the strong Christian man he was in the past. He got married, and they had 4 children. His wife, Julie, became very ill, and there was nothing the doctors were going to be able to do. So they had a celebration of life, and Stu and I attended. We cried, we sang, we lifted our hands in praise, just like we do here. I didn't know at the time, but one of my coworkers, Jane, was behind us watching how we were responding. She told me several months later that when she saw us, it was a turning point for her, and she wanted what we had. So she also turned her life over to Christ, reunited with her high school sweetheart. Her and her family are strong Christians, and we share stories at work now, how God works in our lives. Now you remember Dan. His wife Julie did pass away, and his faith had become so strong, he was comforting us at the funeral. We were all crying, and he was consoling us. I say all of this for you to see that if you live your life so God shines through, you never know who you may touch. You never know who may be watching you to see how you respond in different situations. And if you're showing the love of Christ. Now, I'll be honest, staying close to God in a strong community of faith is not going to be easy, especially here in the prison and when you have to go back to your normal day here. We all know it's not easy, but the feeling that you have now can last forever if you keep your friendship with God. I talked about music earlier. I listen to Christian music most of the time, and I constantly feel God's words. He puts songs in my life at the exact time they're needed. And I can usually feel when God wants me to really listen to a song. Maybe it's to share it with someone or just to encourage me on that day. Maybe it's a song I've listened to 20 times before, and just now he wants me to hear something in that song. Music helps me get through the day on this journey called life. God placed a song in my heart several months ago, and I want to play it for you. Again, your table leaders have a copy of the words so you can follow. Now, I will tell you, remind you, we are working with juvenile boys, so this song does have some rap in it, and the words are really fast, but normally we would hand out the scripture. But hopefully you'll get something just out of the video, and you can listen to some of the words. And I want to play it for you now. It's by Lecrae and Tori Kelly, and it's called I'll Find You.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you.
I'm hanging on by a thread, and all I'm clinging to is prayers. And every breath is like a battle. I feel like I ain't come prepared. And death's knocking on the front door. Pain's creeping through the back. Fear's crawling through the windows, waiting for them to attack. They say don't get bitter, get better. I'm working on switching them letters. But tell God I'ma need a whole lot of hope keeping it together. I'm smiling in everyone's face. I'm crying whenever they leave the room. They don't know the battle I face. They don't understand what I'm going through. The world trying to play with my soul. I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way. I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you.
They say fear haunts you, and pain hates. I say pain strengthens, and fear drives faith. And I don't know all of the outcomes, don't know what happens tomorrow.
But when that ocean of doubt comes, don't let me drown in my sorrow. And don't let me stay at the bottom. I feel like this hole is too deep to climb. I've been looking for a way out, but I settled for a peace of mind. Picking up the pieces of my life and hoping that I put together something right. Tell me all I got is all I need. Tell me you gon' help me stay and fight. The world tryna play with my soul. I'm just tryna find where to go. I'm tryna remember the way. I'm tryna get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
No, don't let the fear make you feel like you can't fight this on your own. You know I'll be there for you no matter where you go. You'll never be alone. No, just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on.
This was an inspiration to you. The video is done for St. Jude's Hospital. And you can see in the video, the children and the families went through some difficult sicknesses and even fought through cancer. These were some extremely difficult times, but with God's help, they did get through. So if these children can fight through cancer they did not ask for and did nothing to deserve, then you can stand strong, take responsibility for what happened in your life, and move forward with God by your side. Now, some of the words in this song says, they don't know the battles I face. They don't understand what I'm going through. The world trying to play with my soul. I'm trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way. I'm trying to get back to my home, but I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Because I don't know where else to go, and I don't know what else to do. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you've got nobody to turn to, just hold on, and I'll find you. Now, if this sounded like you, God does know what you're going through, and he is waiting for you to come home. Just fight a little longer and know it is all worth it in the end. We know on this journey of life, you too can do it with God by your side. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Memorize that verse and repeat it every time you feel you don't have the strength to go on. God will give you the strength and will carry you through all of life's problems. You just have to let him guide you. Remember, you have a family, the family of God. We love you guys, God loves you, and nothing will ever change his love for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you, sweetie. Okay, let's wrap up. So today we just wanted to show each of you a piece of how we work to reach the lost We're not perfect, and honestly, we struggle to do everything the right way. It's not really fake it till you make it, but it surely is a lot of perseverance, and it's a lot of trusting in God. It's a lot of leaps of faith. Sometimes we're not sure. And Aubrey may ask me, she's like, Uncle Steve, they asked me to do this talk. Do you think I should do it? I'm like, I don't know. What is God telling you? I don't know. Well, then pray. We don't always know what to do. The youth are hungry. The world is hungry. If any of you spent any time out in the world, like leave this building, there's a hunger there, and they don't even know what the hunger is, a lot of them. They'll go to anything. The sense of urgency is on us as believers, believers in Christ. He can do this on his own. He can snap his fingers, and all of a sudden we're puppets, and we can follow him. He doesn't desire that. He desires us to desire him. For us, we need dozens of volunteers inside the prison, but that's not why I'm here today. If you want to join that, we can plug you in a minute. Just get a hold of me and my family, and we can get you plugged in. We could use all kinds of helpers, even people who just know how to cook really good food. But you really have your own ministry that you can bring within 30 yards of your home, within a yard of where you're standing. Build up your faithfulness right here, right here, right now, in your homes, here in the body of Christ at MCF. There's so many opportunities to build up your faith and to build up that discipline in Christ. Sharpen yourself, sharpen myself, bless each other. Teach and learn with fervor. We have a lot of teachers in here. Every time I look at all the cell groups now going, we have a lot of teachers, and you don't even know that you're called a teacher. But we thank you for teaching. We thank you for what God's put on you and how he's using you. For Pete's sake, come to church on a regular basis. I wrote that in there. For Pete's sake. I don't know who Pete is. I wrote it in there. The struggle is, I think people realize they need spiritually fed. We go to church to get spiritually fed. But I learned from Lyndon a long time ago that, you know, sometimes you're to go to church and bless somebody else. I'm like, okay. I never really thought about that. I thought it's your job to feed me. Sometimes I'm here to feed somebody else, amen? The way that Tamara explained, she started crying on that because we've gotten a lot of love from you guys, and we've been through a lot of deaths, and that love helps those deaths go so much easier. We challenge every one of you to go, make disciples, baptize, teach the commandments that God's taught you. Remember James's reminder, faith without deeds is dead. I know this sounds harsh, and I'm just using that to be brutally honest. Please don't waste any more of the precious time that you have on earth or making up reasons why you can't or won't share the truth of Christ with somebody. He is our way, our truth, and our life. Find a place to serve. Doesn't matter where. Find a place to serve and jump in with both feet. Like, God, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to jump out in faith, and I pray that you use me. No one's too young, and nobody's too old, and nobody's too outclassed. Start with random acts of kindness, but toughen up your ability to share Jesus with your family, then with friends, then with strangers. Toughen that up. The more you do it, the better you get at it. They need him more than they can possibly know. They just don't know. They know they're hungry for something. You have that something. I guarantee it. Walk out life in strong faith with godly deeds. It's all going to be worth those accolades. I love Matthew 25:23, where Jesus is talking about those things that we do, and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. That should be kind of scary. You get good at that Bible teaching, he might just put you in a room full of 100 people that need to hear the message, and you're the only one that's got it. He'll put you in charge of that room of 100, and then he'll give you everything you need to get that word out. After that, come share in your master's happiness. I hope what we've done is give you a little motivation of what it's like to serve in God's community, what it's like to be able to speak the truth boldly, even vulnerably. Tamara up here crying represents every single one of us. We all cry inside of prison. It's kind of embarrassing for me. You guys see me weep up here. Bob calls me the weeping elder. And then he does that belly laugh like, ha, ha, ha. I'll own it. I'm okay with it. And I love how he describes it. Why don't we stand and let's pray and ask God to give us strength to go out to do his will. Amen. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for always being with us. Thank you for giving the courage to my family to be able to come up and to share a little bit about how you're using them, Lord, how you're using me. And I pray, Lord, that you just empower everybody in this room, Lord, to speak truth about you, even if it starts out in a couple of whispers, Lord, and it turns into crying from the mountains. Lord, don't let us hide our light under a bowl. Let us be a city on a hill, or a light shine before men. So like Tamara said, people will see how much you love us and how much we love them. But then we have the boldness to speak your gospel truth, Lord, not just assume they know what it means. Give us boldness, give us opportunity, give us strength, and give us encouragement, Father. We trust you in all these things. I pray that you bless all these people as they go home. And those who will be coming here for an Epiphany meeting, I pray for safe travels. I pray for your hand upon each one of us. I pray for Pastor Joey again and Macy. Give them strength and heal them through this week, Lord, and let Joey have a good week of rest. It's in your powerful and precious and wonderful name, Jesus. I pray all these things. And the people of God all said, amen.